We've been going through the book of Philippians and we're up to chapter 4. And I really just want to speak on the fact that the Christian should be a person of joy. A Christian should be a person that rejoices. And if you look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Now, as I studied this for this message, I've got to say that this message applies to me as well. My wife would tell you that I'm not always a joyful person. Sometimes I do look like I've got a Bible under one arm and a tombstone under the other arm. I do get down a bit from time to time. So this message actually applies to me. But it's very important that we understand that we should be a joyful people. And my son lives in Sydney, and he lives in a very old terrace house with a few of his friends there. There's actually seven boys that live in this terrace house. And he's got one of the most wonderful views a young bloke can have. He looks out his bathroom window and he can see the Opera House and the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the harbour. It's an incredible view that he's got. If he looks up, he can see actually a penthouse apartment of a movie star, and the movie star owns two floors of an apartment building in the city. So he can look up and see where this movie star resides, and he can look down and he can see the beautiful waters of Sydney Harbour. We were down there a couple of weeks ago visiting him, and we decided it was for his birthday. We decided that we'd go for a walk along the harbour edge. As you go along the harbour edge near the Sydney Harbour Bridge, there's a smiling man. I don't know if you've ever seen him before, but this man, he's always smiling. And if you go and if it's raining or if it's sunshine, the man's smiling. You go down, and I can actually say that years ago when I was a kid, the smiling man was still by the bridge smiling with that great grin on his face. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the entrance to Luna Park, that big smiling face there. That giant smiling man is there day and night, rain or sunshine. And it's a friendly face that you see when you go near the harbour bridge. Now, when you come to Philippians chapter 4, Paul doesn't say keep smiling. And what he indicates is that we are to keep rejoicing as believers in the Lord Jesus. In actual fact, if you study Philippians, you'll find that the Apostle Paul mentions the word rejoice 10 times. Let me just give you a few verses. Philippians 2 verse 14. "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or laboured in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." In Philippians 3 verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." In Philippians 3 verse 3, he says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And again in Philippians 4 verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Now, does anyone know what the shortest verse in the Greek text of the Bible is? No. Jesus wept, John 11:35. That's the shortest verse in the English translation of the Bible. But the shortest verse in the Greek translation of the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16. And Paul says there, "Rejoice evermore." That's the shortest text in the Greek. Do you want lasting joy in your life? Do you want to be able to say that I can rejoice through all circumstances? Well, I believe the answer for joy and the answer for continual rejoicing is found in the Bible. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." The Lord Jesus had joy in his life, and the Lord Jesus wanted his followers to have joy as well. But you know, I believe it's possible for us as believers to lose joy in our life. I can give you some evidence from the Bible. If you think of the life of David, David in the Old Testament lost the joy of his salvation. You remember David's situation? He sinned with Bathsheba. That resulted in major difficulties coming to his household and major trials in his life. David wrote this in Psalm 51, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before you." Sin can rob us of our joy. Sin can be devastating to the life of the believer. But thankfully, if you read Psalm 51, there is a way back. There is a way back to joy. David said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David lost his joy. He lost his joy because of his sin. But there was a way back. God provided forgiveness for him, and he was able to come back to the joy of his salvation. Psalm 51, verse 12. I want to say, just before I quote that verse, that if you have joy in your salvation, if you have joy in Jesus, if you have joy in your Christian life, it's a great witness to others. Look what David says. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." David knew that if he had joy, the joy of his salvation, that actually would be a witness to the unconverted. That if he had joy in his life, he could teach others about the Lord. I believe that saved saints should be amongst the happiest people in the world. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." A preacher of yesteryear was F.B. Meyer. And F.B. Meyer wrote about Christian joy. And he writes this, "The duty of Christian joy. The joy which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in the heart is unlike anything which is produced from the natural soil of the heart. It is altogether peculiar to the regenerate soul. It differs from the overflowing good spirits of perfect health, for it persists amid weakness and pain. For it persists in dark hours as well as bright. It differs from mere happiness. It persists amid the loss of all things. Those who have seen it reflected on the face of God's children will bear witness to the unearthly beauty of expression which it generates." Have you ever come across a person that you look at their face and you think, "I reckon they're a Christian"? I think that person, you may not know anything about them, but you might have just met them, and it comes into your mind that I think that person probably knows the Lord. You can just tell by their face. Now, I'm not saying that you can tell by every believer's face that they are Christians, but there are some people that you can actually look at them and you begin to question and you say, "I wonder if they know the Lord." There's a serenity about them. F.B. Meyer writes about a missionary. He describes the face of Adoniram Judson. Judson was a missionary to Burma. He went to Burma with his wife in the 1800s. And when they went to Burma, there was not one known Christian amongst the millions of the Burmese. If you read the story, the young couple had a baby on the field, but the baby died at just 8 months old. And on the mission field, they laboured away, and it was 6 years before they had their first convert. Judson ended up in prison in Burma for 19 months. He was falsely accused of being a British spy, and the conditions were terrible in that jail. He lived in appalling conditions before he was released. He ended up being released, then his wife died. And Judson went into great despair. And if you read about his life, and I encourage you to read the stories of missionaries because they are so inspiring, but when you read his story, you see the reality of a man that was gripped with sorrow. And as you read his story, you find that Judson dug his own grave. He dug his own grave in his despair. But he came out of his despair. He didn't use the grave. He came out of his despair and he continued to be a missionary. He was determined after he came out of his spiritual darkness to reach Burma for Christ. And through his ministry, he released multitudes from being shackled with idolatry and sin. All up, he spent 38 years on the mission field in Burma, and he died at the age of 62. He translated the Bible into the language of the people in Burma. F.B. Meyer records the story of a young boy seeing Judson's face. He writes this: "One evening he," talking about the boy, "saw a stranger arrive by train in his native town, whose appearance greatly attracted him. He had never seen such a light on a human face before, and at last it dawned upon him that the man was the great missionary with whose picture he was familiar. Until the day he died," this is the boy, "until the day he died, he was accustomed to speak of its beautiful light," that's Judson's face, "that shone like the sun, that surely was a reflection of his inner joy." Judson's faith was reflected on his face. And you know, if you go through the Bible, there are times where people's faces shine. When I was preparing this message, I thought about a shining face. I thought about a face that stood out, and it was the face of Stephen. Acts 6 verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Verse 10 says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." Verse 11 says, "Then they suborned men which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." There is Stephen, about to be executed, about to be stoned. And the Bible records that his face is like the face of an angel. Psalm 34 verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance." If I was to translate countenance, it would be face. A merry heart makes a cheerful face. Sometimes a believer's faith is reflected on their face. Psalm 28, verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." There's a big difference between the world's happiness and the believer's joy. For many in the world, happiness depends on what happens. But for the Christian, our happiness doesn't have to depend on what happens to us. Happiness, for many, is like a thermometer. A thermometer reacts to the conditions. But Christian joy is not like the thermometer. It's like a thermostat. Now, you may not know what a thermostat is. If you've had an old car, you probably do know what a thermostat is. A lot of thermostats used to break down in hot weather, or they might have got caught, and they might have caused major problems for you. But what's a thermostat? Well, a thermostat is a mechanical device that helps an engine maintain its operating temperature. A thermometer reacts to the conditions, but a thermostat controls the conditions. What's a Christian's thermostat? A Christian's thermostat should be our joy in the Lord, no matter the conditions. How's your thermostat going? Are you a thermometer Christian, that you react to what happens? Or are you a thermostat Christian? You're in control because of the joy that's in your heart. When the Christian's in the heat of trials, then the thermostat of joy can kick in. Remember, the thermostat controls the conditions. Let me give you an example from the book of Philippians. Paul and Silas arrive. They hear the Macedonian call. It's a call of God through the vision for them to minister at Philippi. They go in the will of God. They meet Lydia. Then the next major person they meet on the scene is the demon-infested girl. Paul releases her from her demonic bondage, and then they end up in trouble. They end up being stripped and then put into the inner prison. But you see, they had joy in their heart, and the joy didn't depend on their circumstances. They had joy because they knew that God was in charge and the Lord Jesus loved them. In Acts 16, verse 25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." You see, their joy wasn't dependent on what happened to them. Their joy was in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, Paul said, "I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation." In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, he said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Back in the Old Testament, Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The psalmist said in Psalm 27, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You know that the Lord Jesus lived a life of joy? If we lived in the time of Jesus, I believe that Jesus would have been the most joyful person that we have ever met. In actual fact, I believe that the Lord Jesus was the most joyful person that ever walked this earth. Now, I know also the scriptures tell us that Jesus was a man of sorrows, but Jesus was a man of joy. Why would he be the most joyful person on this earth? Because no one had a relationship with the Father like the Lord Jesus. And a relationship with God the Father brings joy. Jesus was perfect. Jesus had a perfect relationship with the Father in heaven, and that brought great joy. Psalm 16 prophetically speaks of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 16 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I believe that prophetically speaks about Jesus. Proverbs 8 also prophetically speaks about Jesus. Verse 29 says, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight. This is prophetic of Jesus. Rejoicing always before him. That's Jesus rejoicing always before the Father. Rejoicing in the habitable part of this earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. I believe that Jesus was the most joyful man that ever walked this earth. I believe also that people were attracted to the Lord Jesus because of his joy. In Matthew 19, the Bible reads, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. I believe little children, I believe parents were attracted to the Lord Jesus because of his joy. I believe not only children, but sinners and tax collectors and the despised people were attracted to Jesus because of his joy and his manner. Matthew 9, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. There was something different about the life of the Lord Jesus, and we know he was different because he was God, but people saw a difference in Jesus. And I believe it was a joy in Jesus. I believe it was that he had a perfect relationship with his Father in heaven and that exuberated joy in his life. Now, I also mentioned that Jesus was a man of sorrows. Jesus experienced humanity. He was perfect God and perfect man. The shortest verse in the English Bible is, Jesus wept, John 11, 35. Jesus wept at the news of the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus also wept over Jerusalem. He knew the rejection of his people, the Jews. He knew the consequences of the judgment to come upon them. And the Bible records, now as he drew near in Luke 19, he saw the city and wept over it. Though Jesus was a man of joy, Jesus also was a man that suffered, a man that experienced sorrow. He experienced sorrow because of the sin and rejection of mankind. Isaiah wrote this about Jesus, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus suffered sorrow and suffered the cross and suffered torture because of our sins. Yet the Lord Jesus was a man of sorrows, and a man of joy. Philip Bliss wrote this in his hymn, "Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaimed, hallelujah, what a saviour. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood, hallelujah, what a saviour." The writer of Hebrews says this about the joy of Jesus. He says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus' joy was in accomplishing the Father's will, and Jesus' joy was seen in the redemption of mankind. Jude puts it this way, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." The redemption of sinners throughout eternity is going to bring the Lord Jesus exceeding joy. I believe it's impossible for a believer to have joy unless they're abiding with the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." What does it mean to abide in Jesus? Well, it means, first of all, that we need to have a connection with Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." And when you think about the branch is totally dependent on the vine for life, totally dependent on the vine for nourishment, totally dependent on the vine in order to produce fruits. And the Christian is totally dependent on the Lord Jesus to produce fruit and also to have joy. A person who's connected to Jesus, they are connected to Jesus when they're born again. And the new birth brings happiness the moment a person trusts Christ as Saviour. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So there has to be a connection to the Lord Jesus, then there has to be dependence on the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "For without me you can do nothing." I can't have joy without Jesus. I can't have joy without abiding in him. The world's joy depends on circumstances. The world's joy goes up and down like a thermometer, depending on the conditions. The Christian's joy depends on Jesus and abiding with him. True joy only comes by being one with Jesus. In John 15, verse 11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Every Christian experiences sadness. Every Christian experiences sickness. Every Christian experiences sufferings. But we have a wonderful future, and we can have true joy on this earth if we abide with the Lord Jesus. Psalm 126 verse 5 says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." We're reminded this morning what Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Perhaps you're not rejoicing this morning. Then perhaps you need to pray, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Maybe you need to confess your sin and come to the Lord for forgiveness and a restoration of joy. If you're a person here that does not know Jesus as Saviour, I want to say that Jesus went to the cross for you. He died on the cross for all your sins. I want to say to you that there is joy far exceeding what we experience on this earth. There's a joy forevermore in a place called heaven. And Jesus provided heaven for you if you will come to him and trust him as Saviour. If you're not a Christian, you will never, ever experience true joy. Everyone needs a Saviour. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. In times like these, you know, everyone needs joy. Everyone needs someone that they can come to who cares for them, and that person is the Lord Jesus. Let's be not like Christians that walk around with a Bible under one arm and a tombstone under the other. Let's be Christians that show the joy of the Lord. We may not always be smiling like the man beside the bridge, but we can always be rejoicing. Thank you.